The talk you're about to listen to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org.
So thanks for coming back. My wife Kelly and I love it when you guys come back, along with the whole rest of the staff team, because State College is such a lonely place when you guys aren't here. So thanks for coming back. How many of you guys are returners now? I know James did this, but I couldn't see. So how many returners do we have all coming back? Okay, you guys, we missed you so much when you're gone, and we love it when you come back. It was good to see a whole bunch of you at the lake last week when we were down there at Raystown to play together. And for those that we didn't see there, thanks for coming back. I look forward to catching up and hearing how your summer was and how you're doing. How many new students, whether you're freshmen or transfers? Let's do that. I'm lying to you. How many freshmen? Okay, so the whole new home for you. You guys, we like to say welcome home, but for you, it's really a new home. And so we're so glad that you guys have chosen to come to Penn State. As Kyle mentioned, Kyle's the worship leader. He mentioned that it's been kind of a difficult year for Penn State, and it has. And we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. But really, you have chosen to come to a fantastic place. And we are so glad that you're here, you're going to study with us. And this really, I think, if it has not already, it'll very quickly become a new home for you. And we're delighted to have you here. And then transfers. How many folks are coming in from a branch campus or another school? Love to see from you guys. A whole bunch of you as well. Because we know you have it's really kind of a special challenge for you to come in, kind of halfway into your year. And then to make new friends and folks are already, maybe some of their relationships are started. But we want you to know that we love it when you guys come in as well. And we would love to help this be a place that very quickly feels like home for you. College is, I think, the most idyllic setting that you can possibly have. And I think you've made an excellent choice to come here. And I think that if you make wise decisions and build the right, build relationships, and in particular, relationships with the right kind of people, you are going to absolutely love your time here at Penn State. My wife and I went to school at James Madison University, and I would say that was really, those 4 years at JMU were really one of the happiest times of my life. And I think that you will probably find the same thing to be true while you're here. If you think about it, college is a place where you've got, there's tennis courts, right, and swimming pools, and all you can eat food at every meal, and you're literally within walking distance of hundreds, thousands of your peers. And so really, if you make good decisions while you're here, there's really very little reason to ever be bored, very little reason to ever be lonely. And the deepest longings of your heart, which I'm going to guess, are really to be in relationship, are going to be met right here. And we would love to be a community that helps those things happen for you. And so tonight we're going to talk about that. The next week we're going to talk a little bit more about the mission accrue. And then the third week, we're going to talk a little bit about the Sandusky mess and the sanctions. So that's going to come. We're going to talk through what do those things mean. But for now and for next week, we really want to focus on what it means to be living in relationships and enjoy, really, I think, the very core of what God has invited us to. So let me tell you a little bit about my time when I was a student. I want to tell you a couple stories about what it was like to be a student at JMU a long time ago now, 20 years ago, and then talk about why, what I think it means, draw some lessons from that with you. When I was at Madison, one of my closest friends was a guy named Mark Peterson. And Mark was my RA, actually, my sophomore year. And Mark had a zeal for life. He still does. He's not dead. But Mark had a zeal for life, and he loved to play. And I'd be in my room, and I'm studying for something and trying to, you know, take things seriously. And Mark would kick in the door and come in the room and say, "Henderson, are you going to remember the grades you got on that test 50 years from now? No. Come on, let's go make some memories." And then he'd drag me out of my room, and we'd go do some ridiculous thing and have fun. He did this all the time. And I remember one night in particular, that exact thing happening. I'm in my room studying for a test, and just as Mark predicted, I don't have a clue, right, what the test was even about. And he says, "You know, let's go make some memories." And it was raining. It was pouring down rain at JMU that night. And so we all went out, and we found some field where there was a whole bunch of other kids, and we just did mudslides and wrecked our clothes and destroyed this field. I feel bad for whoever, the OPP guys that had to go regrass this thing. And we made memories. And Mark was right. I remember that night. I remember these people that I met. I remember the things that we did. And I don't have any idea what I was studying for, what I got on the test. In fact, I was thinking about this story the other day, and I realized I cannot remember a single class I took my entire sophomore year. I don't even know what the candidates are, with a singular exception of Psych 160. But the only reason I remember that class is because that's where I met my wife, Kelly, right? And so it's all, okay, go to class, that would be fine, all right? I went to several of mine, and you can do the same. However, this dirty little secret is you are not here chiefly to go to class. You are here to make memories, to build relationships that will last you for your whole life. The guys that I went to school with, I was in a Bible study with a bunch of these guys, and we all connected, and we really fell in love with each other in a very manly way. And when we graduated from college, we made a commitment to each other that we would literally have a lifelong commitment. There's seven of us. We call it the Adelphos, which is Greek for the brothers. And we, just this last summer, we had our 19th annual reunion. And every 2 months for the last 19 years, I've written these guys a letter about my life, updating them on the things that I'm excited about, confessing sin, what's going on in our marriage, things in ministry. And these guys are my closest friends. These are the guys with whom I made these close memories, where I built these relationships. And for you, you could have that be your experience, that 20 years from now, and 25 years from now, and 35 years from now, there will still be this core of people that love you, that would be on a plane for you if something went wrong, and with whom you will laugh and play and have a ton of fun. All right? That's what this place is all about, and that's really what we want to help you experience. I want to show you really quick a video that I think captures kind of the essence of this. This is like a couple minutes long. We'll watch it and then ask you a couple questions about it. So let's go ahead and watch this quick clip. Okay, first of all, how many of you say that's awesome, I want to go do that? Okay, and how many of you are like, that's terrifying, and I still want to go do that, right? Okay, what is it about that? I've seen that like a dozen times, because it's like injecting happiness into my blood. I love that video. Why? What is it about that thing that's compelling? What are some of the elements there? Danger, right? Yeah, danger, right? There's this adventure, and you might die, and for whatever reason, that's really cool, all right? What else? What else is good about that? Trust, right? You got the guys that tied the rope, the guys that did all this thing, it's got to work. And if you don't have that, then you are going to die. And that'll be bad, but if not, it's cool, right? What else? What? Say it again, what? Friendship, right? And so it's not just these guys jumping off this cliff and these girls jumping off a cliff, but there's a kiss, right? And that's good. And those guys got engaged, by the way. That's in the making of. You see, they got engaged at that thing. And there's laughter and camaraderie and all this stuff. There's this interaction, right? Watch, a couple other things. What's in there? The soundtrack, the music, right? It's fun. It makes you want to play and laugh and dance. Yeah. What else? Blue sky. It's pretty, right? Okay. Now, some of these things that you're mentioning, beauty, intimacy, adventure, those are the core things that your heart loves. You are designed for beauty and intimacy and adventure. And that's exactly what that thing's all about, right? You guys, that is what life is about. We are made for relationship. We are made to experience intimacy and beauty in an adventure. And what we want to major on here at Crew is those exact things, beauty, intimacy, adventure. We want to be a community where those things are kind of flowing in our lives. And we're going to talk all about that all year long, okay? Let me tell you one more story about life at JMU. When I was there, I had a good friend named Rook. And I lived in this building, Wayland Hall, and I was an RA. Because of Mark's influence, I decided to be an RA my junior year. And in Wayland Hall, right outside the front door was this big sign, right? And there's this yellow circle with black triangles kind of cut into it. And above the top, it said Fallout Shelter. And that just kind of has a way of seizing the imagination. Like, okay, where is it? And what sweet gas masks and things that will last for 50 years are in there? And so Rook and I, we saw that thing. We thought, okay, A, I'm an RA, so RAs have power and keys. And so we decided we're going to find the Fallout Shelter. And in the hall, in the basement hall, at the end of the hall, was this door that had never been opened. I'd never seen it open. There was never any light coming out from it. And Rook and I figured, that's got to be it. This is the door to like the sub-basement where there are glories untold. It may not be beautiful, but there's going to be adventure. Rook's actually not very beautiful, but it was a good time. So intimacy, adventure, we're going to go into this thing. And so one night we get all the keys, and I got this huge box full of keys, and we're going through them. And key after key after key after key, they all fail. Nothing opens this door. So it's lame, and so we're shut out. And we're working through different strategies. How are we going to get into this room? And one day, Rooker got in the mail a catalog from a company that sells stuff for that segment of society that's kind of like ready for the war. You know what I'm talking about? So they've got like, you know, the MREs, and they got the rapid-release assault buckles, and they got knives you can sneak onto airplanes in case you need to kill a terrorist, and all this, you know, all this stuff. And they sell lockpick kits. So Rook and I order a lockpick kit, and we teach ourselves how to pick locks. And we get to the point where we could successfully pick about half of the locks just with a really, and you could too, by the way, it's just called brushing. It's a real simple torque wrench, and you just do these things, and it's really pretty simple. And we could knock about half of the locks out. And then we completely wussed out and never opened the door at the end of Wayland Hall. And so I have no idea what's behind that door. Isn't that a crappy ending to that story? It's really, honestly, that's how the story ends. Except that a couple years ago, Kelly and I went back to JMU, and I just poked my head into Wayland Hall, and it smelled like it used to smell, right? You know how memories, it just all comes back. And at the end of that hall, they no longer have a stupid key lock. Now it's got this electronic swipe with a big sign that says, warning, violators will be persecuted, da-da-da-da. And I'm like, I blew it, right? There is something behind that door. And now I'll never know, because when you're an RA, you live in the building, if you break in, I mean, what's the big deal, right? But today, I would go to prison if I broke through that door, right? So I will never know, and you will never know what's behind that door, which is super, super lame, okay? So that's a crappy story, but we make memories all the time, and I got all these fun recollections of times with my friends at JMU and things I learned in class, okay? Unless your parents, don't tell your parents that, hey, I went to this club, and they said never go to class, but make memories, okay? And what I want to do with you tonight, though, is I want to think with you, why is it that life is all about relationships? Why is it that the worst thing that someone could do to you is to put you in solitary confinement? And why is it that probably, though you may or may not admit it, many of you might, probably the deepest longing of your heart is to someday be married, that there be one other person who would say, I like you best of all. We long for that. Why is that? I want to suggest to you tonight that that longing, that core relational reality to your soul is based on the deep theological truth that God is Trinity. That from all eternity, God has been, is, and will always be a community of persons who have always known and loved each other. God, in his most irreducible, fundamental core self, is a relationship. He's a party. He's a community. He's a dance. In fact, one of the terms that the early church used to describe God, this interaction between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is perichoresis. If you think about this word, perichoresis means to dance about. A choreographer graphs a dance. A choreographer writes a dance. They create this dance. And to perichoresis is to dance about. That what God is in himself is this dancing about. What that means is that before there was time itself, okay, so go to the beginning of time, whatever that means, and then go beyond it into this eternal, you know, the 100 billion trillion years before time even existed, which doesn't make any sense. What was God doing? I'll tell you what he was doing. The Father was delighting in the Son. He was adoring and just absolutely enjoying his relationship with the Son, who himself was responding with infinite loving deference and honor and delight and pleasure, while the two of them were also loving the Spirit, who himself was reciprocating with infinite affection and delight and honor. And the three spent all of eternity before there was anything else. What they did for all of time was revolve around and dance around and perichoresis around each other in love and affection and delight and pleasure and relationship. This is the center of the universe. The core from which everything else sprang is fundamentally a relationship. That's what God is. Tim Keller, great pastor of New York City, Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City, and he said, Keller's one of the guys that I've learned a ton of stuff from, including much of this. He said this. He said, when Jesus said, you have to lose yourself to find yourself, he's only telling you what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have been doing from all eternity, loving each other and serving each other, revolving around each other, and putting the others at the center of their universe. This is why Jesus talked about this all the time. You can't read a page in the New Testament without Jesus talking about loving people and serving people. And that's because that's all he knew for all of time, is being in a relationship of love and service and admiration and affection. What that means, you guys, is before there was hydrogen, helium, or carbon, or iron, there was love and camaraderie and affection and deference and delight. And those things, you guys, they precede and they supersede everything else, absolutely everything else. They come before, are better than, more important than, more enduring than money and power and prestige and the accumulation of things. All the stuff that we tend to build our lives on, all those things come after, are less than, less important than relationships of love. That is what created the universe, and that's what the universe was created for. Let me try to prove this to you. If you have a Bible, you can break it out, but if you don't, we got one for you on screen. Just go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and we'll take a look at this here. I'll try to prove to you the truth of what I'm saying. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says this. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Okay, I want you to notice two things. First of all, who is he talking to? Did you notice these pronouns? It says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Okay, this is before he made it. There's nobody to talk to, but there's always somebody to talk to because there's always been this relationship. This is the first hint in your Bible of this crazy doctrine of the Trinity, the first glimpse that God has a multipersonal, a superpersonal nature. Before he made anybody else, there was already an us. He is a relationship, okay? So he's got this multipersonal nature. He is a community of persons who have always known and loved each other. Second thing, I want you to notice this. You and I, we were made in his image. Male and female, we are made after his pattern, which means that you were made in the image of a supremely relational God. But, of course, you're not triune, right? You and I, we have a simpler, singular nature, which means that you're made for relationships, but you're not fundamentally self-sufficient. You can't go inside of yourself like God can to commune with the other persons. And if you can, that's an entirely different problem that we cannot help you with at Crew, okay? So good luck with that, right? We have this simpler, singular nature. We're made for relationship, but we're not made self-sufficient, which means we gotta have connections with other people. Connections with God, chiefly, and connections with other people. It's like this. It's like imagine this. Consider for one brief heretical second that God is a cube, okay? He's not, but just imagine that he's a cube. You were made in his image, but you're more like a square, okay? So you're a square that was made for cubeness. You're a person that was made for community. He is a cube. He's complex and multidimensional, and we're simple or singular, but we're made for that same thing. We're made like him, but not entirely like him. And we need other people, and we need him in our life to realize the fullness of what he always meant. Make sense? Because this is why you want to be married, because God is singular and multiple at the same time. And that's what marriage is. It is the two becoming one. We are made for this kind of intimacy, for relationship. And it really, I think, is the key that unlocks so much in our lives. And because of it, at Crew, we major on this. We talk about this all the time. We talk about community and we try to live it out. James already said that Crew is a community where the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, does all this really, really sweet stuff. And we want you to know there's room in the community for you. It's big, right? And there's all kinds of people and there's all kinds of things going on. And it's not even true to say that there's a community. The truth is the Crew is a whole slew of a bunch of little interlocking communities. Nobody in this room knows everybody else in this room. But a whole bunch of us know a bunch of people and got these circles of friends, and the circles are warm and they open up so that new people can come in. The Crew is a community or a group of communities where the good news about Jesus does all this incredible stuff in our lives now and hopefully after we graduate and for the rest of our lives. Okay? So that's what we're all about. One very influential passage, and we're going to talk about this next week, is 1 Thess 2:8, which says, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." Okay, we see in that is such a great expression of what we are, what we want to be. We want to be a community that really focuses on these two things, the gospel of God and loving other people. And what we mean by that is we want to move into relationship with each other, with people in this room. We want there to be warmth and affection, camaraderie and deference and delight and all those things that are eternal in the Godhead. And we want to treat the people outside of this room that way. We want to move towards people in relationship and love them. People in your classes, people in your major, people on your floor, and in particular, the people that don't yet know God in a meaningful way, because their relationship with you will likely be one of the major determining factors of how they view and experience Jesus Christ. And so we want to love people. We want to be excellent at that. Second thing, we want to major on the gospel. And again, we want to do it inside and outside. We need to hear the gospel. I need to be reminded all the time, every day, that God loves me so much that he was glad to die for me, but that I'm such a mess that he had to die for me. We talk about that amongst ourselves because we need the gospel, and we talk about it outside because everybody on this campus, everybody in the world, they need Jesus' love and forgiveness just as much as I do, just as much as you do. And so we want to be geniuses at talking about Jesus and loving people. And so next week, Tom Spurlick, who helps lead Crew, he's going to be walking us through that passage and really giving a whole lot more time to that. That's what we're all about. Okay, we want to share that everywhere we go, everywhere we can. Now, by way of application, I want to give you 5 quick points that kind of, I think, can really make a difference. And my goal in these 5 points is to help you belong, okay? So you can, if you're taking notes, this is how to belong, how to make Penn State be a place that you will love. Because that's really, we want you to come here, we want you to love being here. I hope that these next 4 years will be the best years of your life that you've ever had so far. All right, here's my tips. Number one, leave your door open. Okay, if you're living in the dorms in particular, but also if you're living in an apartment, when you are in your room and not naked, your door should be open, okay? The best way to become miserable and lonely and isolated and to transfer out of here is just shut your door, okay? Because nobody's going to just knock on your door. But if you're in your dorm and that thing is open and you're reasonably dressed, okay, let's say, then people are going to poke in, and they're going to learn your name, and you're going to learn their name, and there's going to be community. The biggest difference on any dorm, I was an RA in a couple different buildings, and the buildings where there were open doors, people knew each other, and there was love, and there was relationship. Where the doors were closed, it was just lame, and there's nothing you can do to fix it. So number one, just keep your door open as long as you have your clothes on. Okay? Number two. What is number two? This one's easy. Come to stuff. Just show up at stuff at Crew. So you've already begun that, and that's great. Just show up. Tonight, as soon as this meeting is over, we're going to go across the way, kind of around this loop, still in the hub, and we're going to have a big ice cream party, okay? Now, about half of you are introverts, and the other half are extroverts, okay? Especially for the introverts, and I am one of you, so I get this. That is awful, right? You're like, so awkward, and I'm going to learn this guy's name, and then I'm going to forget this guy's name, and then I'm going to feel like an idiot about asking for their name again. You do all that, right? We do this all the time. All I can say to you is just suck it up and do it anyway, okay? There's no other way to get to the good stuff, the intimacy and the adventure, right? To get into those relationships. You just got to wade through the awkward, I just met you kind of thing, okay? So show up. So we got stuff tomorrow. We got today, we got this ice cream social. Tomorrow night, we're having a picnic at Fairmont Park. You can meet at the Big Onion at 4:45, get a ride, or you can go down to the park. It's a few blocks kind of south of campus. Show up at that. We're doing tailgating. We're going to the game. We do a gajillion things because we know you just got to wade through it. You got to meet people. You got to make the connection. So learn their name, forget their name. It's okay. They forgot yours. It's no big deal. And learn it again, and eventually it'll stick, and you'll make some relationships. It'll be great, okay? So keep your door open. Show up at stuff. Number three, I hope that you will get involved in a small group Bible study, okay? Our Bible studies have two main purposes. Number one, we want to teach you about Jesus. He's incredible. He boggles the mind. And the whole thing, every part of that book is about him. It's meant to show us how much we need him and how beautifully and overwhelmingly he meets the need. We want you to learn about him because he's so great. We'll talk about him all the time. But number two, it's to build relationships. Those guys that I'm friends with, the Adelphos, Rook, and Todd, and Neil, and Mike, all these guys, we met in Bible study. We gathered together around the Word of God, and we developed relationship, a bond that hasn't been broken. And there's been a lot of stuff that have happened in all of our lives since then. And it's been so good to walk through life with these guys who love me and who I love. So get involved in a Bible study. We'll give you a chance to sign up for that in a minute. Number four, sign up for the fall retreat. Okay, this is huge. The most important thing that Crew is going to do this semester is the fall retreat. And I hope every single one of you comes. It's October 12th to the 14th, and it looks like this. Ready, go. We got another one. Yeah, doesn't that look fun? Go. It's in a great big field. All right, here's the deal. When I was at JMU, I went to Crew I'd been invited like a gajillion times, and I didn't go, and then I finally showed up this weekend, Thursday before the fall retreat. And because they're all friendly and they knew how important it was, they invited me to come, and I said no, because I don't know you people, and it was just weird. Like, why am I going to a party with you? I don't even know you. And I didn't, but I stayed involved with Crew, and I was involved all year long, and I always was on the fringe, on the outside of the community, right? I'd show up, and I'd see people, and I'd meet, and it was meet and greet, and whatever, and I'd go, and I never connected. My sophomore year, I went to the fall retreat, and you guys, honestly, it was like, you've seen The Wizard of Oz, right? It's like the world went from black and white to color that weekend for me, and I distinctly remember, I have snapshots of this weekend. I don't have any idea what the Bible teacher said. I got nothing. I mean, which is sad, because I'm a Bible teacher. It makes it humiliating. All I can remember is finally getting in, and I remember specifically leaving the retreat and coming home, getting dropped off at Shorts Hall, going up the stairs, kind of the back stairwell, up to my dorm room. And I was so happy because I was in the community, and I knew people, and they knew my name, and I'd actually spoken and met people. And it was, everything changed for me that weekend. It was transformative. And I see that exact thing happen year after year after year after year at the fall retreat. You're going to be living in a bunkhouse with somebody, and you're going to be playing in the field, and you're going to be making memories, you're going to be laughing, and it's going to make all the difference for you belonging at Penn State, for you belonging at Crew. So write this down on your calendar right now, October 12th to 14th. I promise, it's the most important and the best thing we do all semester, and you've got to come. It's just going to change your life. All right, finally, number five. This one's a little weird. Get involved in any other group besides Crew that's not a Christian fellowship at Penn State. Let me explain what I mean by that. I'm good friends with many of the other directors and other staff and the other different Christian groups, and they're awesome. We've got an incredible community of believers at Penn State, lots and lots of groups. And if you want to go check out other groups, go do that for sure. And if you find that that's the best fit for you to be in another one of the Christian fellowships on campus, that's where you're going to grow in faith and build these relationships and walk with Jesus and represent him to others, then go there and love it, and never come back to Crew. Instead, get involved in a group where there aren't people that already know Jesus. Here's what I see happen a lot of times at Penn State, is folks will come to Penn State, and they'll get involved in a Christian group on a Wednesday night, and then a Christian group on Thursday night, and then a Christian group on Friday night, and then they get involved in a Bible study, and maybe a Bible study just to round things out. And what happens is they're spending so much time drinking from every Christian water fountain on campus that they simply don't have any opportunities to offer a glass of water to someone who might be thirsty, but who doesn't know Jesus. So pick one. We would love to be that one. I love Crew, and we would love to have you guys be here with us. I don't mean to rush you out of the door. Stay. Be part of this community. There's room for you, and we would love to have you. But in addition to Crew, I don't know, write for the Collegian. Pledge your fraternity. Get involved with Thon. Join the Quidditch team, right? Whatever you want, I don't care. But be in a place where there's people that don't already know Jesus and love them and talk to them about why you love Jesus, all right? We want to be a community that loves each other and loves the people around us. And there's a lot of people at Penn State, a lot of believers, that literally don't know anyone who's not already a Christian. And I'm guessing their influence is really pretty small, all right? So be involved and come in, jump in deep here in Crew, and jump involved in another group that's not another Christian fellowship. Plug in with people that don't already know Christ and love them well, okay? All right, keep your door open, come to stuff, get in a Bible study, go to the fall retreat, get involved in a non-Christian group. Life is all about relationships and being in a situation where you feel like you belong, where it feels like home. That's going to make Penn State be the best and sweetest place you've ever been. All right, it's what makes life worth living. It's what I experienced as a student, and you could do it here. Now, let me close with this. I don't want to leave you with the impression that God's Trinitarian nature and all the mind-bogglingness of that really points no higher than just our own entertainment. There's a lot more going on there. And in fact, I think the thing that maybe is the craziest about that is that that dance, the perichoresis that's been going on from all of eternity, you have been invited to join it. It's unbelievable. This community of persons who from all eternity have known and loved each other, know and love you, and they want you to enter the dance. In fact, entering that dance is the most important thing that you will ever do. And in fact, God himself paid an incomprehensible price to make it possible for you to do that. They love you, and they want you in the dance. Listen to Jesus. Listen to the language in light of what we've been saying here, to how Jesus talks about this. This is the night before he was crucified. God the Son prayed to God the Father, and he said this, "I pray for all of those who will believe in me, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you." Do you hear the twisting, the perichoresis? "May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me." He's braiding us all together. It's crazy. "May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Did you know that God the Father loves you as much as he loves Jesus? It's outrageous, just mind-blowing. "Father, I want those that you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory that you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." Love precedes everything. God the Son is asking God the Father to let you into the circle, to enter the dance, so that you can know and experience the love that they have always shared and extend to you. It is mind-boggling. And we hope that you'll stick around. I think things of that magnitude and that sweetness are best savored in community. And so we want to talk about that together all year long, and really for the rest of our lives. Okay.
The talk you have just listened to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. Crew is a community where the gospel captures hearts, transforms lives, and launches men and women into a lifelong adventure with Jesus Christ. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org. That's PennStateCRU.org. This talk is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. You are free to copy and distribute this talk to others as long as you do not do it for commercial purposes or alter, transform, or build upon this talk in any way.